Morning, everybody. On 88.1, it's Marilyn Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall, and my guest this morning is Megan Anderson. She's a member of the resident company of the Everyman Theater in Baltimore, recently named Best Actress by the Baltimore City Paper. She's starring in Everyman's latest production, the Baltimore premiere of Grounded by George Brandt. It's a ripped-from-the-headlines affair. It's about a former F-16 pilot who's now flying drones from a remote location in Nevada. It's also a tour de force for Megan Anderson, or any actor for that matter, as she is the one and only actor in the play. Grounded is in previews tonight, and tomorrow it opens at the Everyman Theater on Friday. Megan, it's so good to see you.
It's great to see you again. Hello.
This is quite a project.
Yeah.
Quite a project for you and for the theater. Let's tell folks about it by beginning with what it's not. This is not like a one-person memoir kind of play, kind of evening, right? It's not like, you know, Lily Tomlin did that famous one, or, you know, Anna Deavere Smith takes on a character, Hal Holbrook, you know, reminisces as Mark Twain. This isn't that. This is a story, isn't it?
This is a story. This is a pilot's story. This is the story of a woman who begins the play telling you about her relationship to the sky and how much she loves to fly. And then it becomes the story of a woman who falls in love and becomes a mom. And then it's her story as she tries to juggle and navigate these two different worlds of going to work, and work happens to be being a soldier, going to war. And then she goes home and tries to take care of her daughter and her husband. It's a very immediate telling of how she is encountering her new life and trying to put the pieces together. And she needs to tell it. She needs it to be heard by the audience so that they can understand, I think, what she's struggling with, what she feels she's achieving, and what she feels she's failing at. It's very, very in the moment.
How did you prepare for it? What kind of research did you do?
So it started off with reading the script and saying, okay, what is the story on the page? And then also reading a little bit about what her life might be like as a drone pilot. So I got this folder several inches thick full of articles and interviews with people who actually do this for a living, and what it takes to train them and what their experiences are staring at that screen for hours and hours and hours on end. And what's interesting is that now I feel soldiers and pilots are a lot more open about what their personal experience is in that trailer. They're coming forth and saying, you know, it's actually really difficult to press the button, drop the bomb, and have to stay there and watch bodies on the screen. It's a very different experience than if you're in an F-16 and you get to drop it and fly and go away from that. So, you know, George's play is ripped right out of those articles, and this pilot's experience honors those true life experiences, those real life experiences.
Because drones themselves as a military device are so impersonal, and we tend to, I guess, accrue impersonality to the people who are pressing those buttons. But this play is all about just the opposite. It's all about the persons who are doing this and the conflicts and the tensions that are in her life.
Yeah. Well, when she first takes over those controls, she realizes this, I guess she gets introduced to the concept of power without responsibility or accountability necessarily. So she's able to see these people. They're on the screen. They're 8,000 or 9,000 miles away. She hunts them down. She follows them for days at a time sometimes. And then she pushes this button and realizes that there's no danger to her own life, that she's in combat without being in danger. And there's a high that comes with that and the sense of power. But then shortly after follows this sense of these are real people. And there's an empathy that comes in. And when the human lives that she sees on the screen, she starts to compare them to the human life that she's living and her own human beings at home. And then I think a question comes into play in her consciousness. And it's a question. It never gets answered. But I do this during the day. I come home at night And these are two very hard realities to have going at the same time.
On 81, it's Marilyn Morning. Megan Anderson is here with me in the studio. I'm Tom Hall. We're talking about Grounded, the piece that she is about to open at the Everyman Theater here in Baltimore. I haven't seen the whole piece, but you were nice enough to let me come in and hang out at a rehearsal a couple of weeks ago. Our mutual friend Derek Goldman is directing you. You and I have worked together with the Choral Arts Society. I'm used to directors and doing operas and ballets and concerts and the dynamic between the director and the cast. I was fascinated at the relationship that you and Derek have as you mine this piece for what makes it tick. And it's a very different dynamic because you're not part of an ensemble. It's just you and Derek, and the stage manager was there as well when I was at your rehearsal. What's that dynamic been like when it's just two people going through this, very nuanced, complicated script?
It's fascinating. And fortunately, Derek and I are friends for several years now. This is our third collaboration. So just going into it, I say, I could not be in better hands than to be with Derek, who's such a personable genius. I don't know how else to describe him. His intuition and his insights and are so great. And he's a great supporter. So I feel like we have this dialogue going. And the further along we've been working, the more we can almost kind of intuit what each other is going to say, or maybe. So that kind of gets things going, and I'm rambling on about him, but I'm just in love with him as a director and as a human being. So he makes the room really comfortable, and he sets a really high standard, which I just can't. I'm always so eager to try to reach it for him because he has such vision for the piece. So
yeah, because I'm so interested in this process because it involves just you and Derek. I mean, usually when we start a show, if we start an opera or something, the director will give a big speech to the cast. Okay, here's the play, here's the story, here's what time frame it's set in, here's what we need to know about what's going on historically, contextually. Did Derek do that with you? Did he sit you down and give you a speech?
Well, yeah, we did have a speech. first day of rehearsal, the designers are there and a couple of the faculty of the theater are there. So it kind of felt like a normal table read at first. And then after we read the script, everybody disappeared. And it was just Derek and I and our stage manager and our ASM. So the room has been pretty small, pretty quiet. But our stage manager, Kat, and our ASM, Julie, and Derek,
that's were
like a little
stage
team.
Manager, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then Derek's going to go away soon, and then it's going to feel really lonely.
Cause yeah.
I feel like Derek's my scene partner in a way. So then he'll go away and do other great things, and it'll just be us ladies flying the plane.
Yeah, and that's the trick to this piece is that establishing your rhythm, establishing your tempo, establishing the tone. You are used to doing that with scene partners,
mm-hmm.
sometimes three or four scene partners. Right now, there's no scene partner other than perhaps the tech that you've got because you're going to have video images
right.
Projected behind you. But how is it getting into that rhythm?
Well, what's cool is that my scene partners are sort of invisible. I can explain. So there are several characters in the play: my husband, my daughter, my commander, my censor, my co-pilot in the trailer once we move into the trailer to fly the drones. And each of those characters, even though I talk about them and they never appear, they are very specific in my head. I know exactly what they look like. I know what their voices sound like. So there are some kind of scenes in the play where they're with me and I kind of view them as my invisible scene partners, which helps. But then this play, it's written with such immediacy that you go from one event to another, and then in the running of it, it just sort of ends. You have your scene with your husband, you have the scene with the commander, you fly the plane, you blow people up, you take this journey, and then it's over. So we've picked it apart and really, really picked it apart. And then you put it all together and it, maybe pun a little bit intended, it kind of takes off, you know. And
it then flies.
It does.
It
kind of
flies.
And it's been great.
Because it was fascinating to see you and Derek really just sort of excavating every line, what your motion is going to be, what you do with your right hand, your left hand, whether you brush your hair away or when you push the button,
mm-hmm.
and in relation to when you say the line. It was really interesting to see you sort of take it sort of line by line this whole play. And I'm not familiar with that happening on a line by line basis in a regular ensemble.
I'm not sure you often get the luxury.
Yeah.
And I kind of consider it a luxury in that sense. But you're right. You know, in a more traditional experience, you would throw something to your scene partner and something would develop between you. And then whatever chemistry is happening between the two of you, Derek is watching that, or any director is watching that. And then he'll go in and tweak that or refine it. And in this case, you know, with it just being the two of us and just the text, we have to make sure that the text is lifted in a way that it is its clearest and it's, you know, reaches its potential. And so, you know, we also are trying to keep the movement really spare and not layer on things that don't need to be there, so that when you raise that thumb to press the button, it's clear, it's obvious, it's not a muddled thing or something that gets lost in a bunch of other stuff, you know. So Derek is, and sometimes it's overwhelming. I'll be trying to, you know, really feel something so that I can remember it and get it in my head. And Derek's like, okay, stop, right in the middle of me kind of getting all worked up emotionally because of whatever's happening in the scene. And he'll jump in and say, oh, wait, we have to tweak the way you're doing this. And I'll be like, I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah,
that's too much.
I bet. You know? I bet. Do you do things like, do you warm up for this play before curtain, you know, differently than you warm up for a regular play?
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, I warm up before every play, but this play is particularly vocally taxing. So a good, solid.
How long is it?
Vocal warm up. It's going to be around 70 minutes, maybe.
That's maybe a lot of talking.
A little bit less. It is. And there's a lot of shouting. There's a lot of whispering. So I got to fill that house. So, yeah, vocal warm-up's important. And also just stretching the body, because the things get so tense, especially in that chair. I got to, you know, get ready for that tension to come and then be able to let it go when the show is all done.
How about things as simple as reviewing your lines? I mean, you know, oftentimes I go into dressing rooms of colleagues before shows, they're going over lines and stuff. If you've got 70 minutes worth of lines, I mean, are there particular parts that you're going to want to, you know, refresh your memory on before each night, or different parts on different nights maybe?
Maybe. Well, I've been finding that there are these tricky sections and they're the same ones every time that are hanging me up. And what that tells me is that I have work to do on what the intellectual or emotional journey is, so I'm still picking away at that. And I think once I figure it out, hopefully, before we close this lovely show, those lines will get clearer. But yeah, drilling it, you know, have to do it. It's keeping the instrument sharp because there's nobody out there going to save you, you know?
Absolutely. Well, I think it's a journey a lot of folks are going to want to come along with you on, Megan. So congratulations.
Thank you. It's been awesome.
And break a leg.
Thank you.
Megan Anderson, she's starring in the one-person play Grounded. It opens in a new production at the Everyman Theater Friday night. It's in previews tonight and tomorrow night, and it'll be at the Everyman Theater until November 16th. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Marilyn Morning. Marilyn Morning is an original production of Your Public Radio, WYPR, in Baltimore. Matt Purdy and Jamila Kay produce the program. Nathan Sterner directs and engineers. Payam Agagasum and Elizabeth Sherwood help out with production. You can listen to a live stream of Marilyn Morning on any of your devices. Come to wypr.org/listen. And to catch shows that you might have missed, you can find a complete audio archive at wypr.org/Marilyn Morning. Thanks to everybody who made an early pledge to our fall pledge drive. We had planned to start the pledge drive today, but many of you made it possible to forego those proceedings until tomorrow. We'll be back with another edition of Marilyn Morning with Sheila Cast on Friday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.